Now, the natives here are a tricky bunch, difficult to understand, and God knows they make little enough attempt to understand us. So it was with some trepidation that we found ourselves outside the Maharaja's palace. We were here to redress the bad feeling that had been brought about by the British ambassador's last visit. The poor man was ill-advised enough to make a gift of a pigskin jacket to the Maharaj, not realizing the Hindu's dread of all things porcine. It went badly for the ambassador, but even worse for the Maharaj, who had to spend the next 6 months in a purification ritual in the River Ganges. He was deeply pissed off. In order to save face, he had to embarrass the British in a similar and equally vicious fashion. And so we found ourselves invited to the Maharaja's palace for a banquet. A banquet, you might think, that doesn't sound vicious. Well, you'd be wrong. You see, there is in these parts a dish known as the Vindaloo. The Vindaloo is not about eating, it is a test of manhood. Few white men have survived it. This would have been bad enough had it not been for the dress code of a white silk dhoti. Now a dhoti will show every stain, every smear, every mark. Furthermore, etiquette demanded that no man could leave the table whilst the Maharaja was still sitting. This then was to be a war of nerves, and a very uncomfortable evening for all concerned. And so battle commenced. As we predicted, the first dish was the Vindaloo. Bright red, steaming, vicious mixture. Give a man the licorice for a month. Now, Hibbertson was the first man to lay his jaws into it. Took a big mouthful, stiff upper lip and all that. Stout fellow, Hibbertson. Looked at me, up and down, and the Major, same way, and said,
"I think you should wait for the second course, Major. This one's a little mild for our taste, I fancy."
Obviously, the Maharaja was furious, but he didn't dare say a word, fear of losing face. He sent immediately to the kitchen for the hottest tandoori that could possibly be manufactured. Oh, dear God. Of course, honor dictated that he take the first mouthful. Dear God, that was nasty. Tandoori, it's a vicious thing. With wind and cramps, they can bring. I walked in with a mad desire. Came out again with my ass on fire. Shooting pains and a burning ring of fire. I sat down, 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 and the pain got higher. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire. I spent all day on the toilet pan, passing what felt like a sardine can. I fed on that curry just like a child, until my ass went totally wild. Eating out should never be so hard, but my poor backside is a burning tub of lard. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire. We were now 4 hours into the banquet and approaching that dangerous time. Curries had arrived in progressively hotter array until finally most of the men were sweating profusely, the cords standing out of their necks, their eyes bulging, and they were beginning to hallucinate. But still, no side would give in. Fortunately, I had taken the precaution of equipping the men with rubber underwear. No matter how fierce the turbulence within, not a trace of it could escape into the outside world. Those duties would remain spotless throughout the city. Of course, by now the Maharaja was distinctly uncomfortable, and without the aid of modern science to constrain the combustible gases brewing within, it was hard to see that he could remain seated for so long. Eventually, coffee and hot towels were passed around, and we were beginning to think that we might have pulled it off. But we should have expected a dirty trick at the end, and that's exactly what we got. It was now that the Maharaja played his ace card. As any student of chemistry can tell you, you should never mix powerful acids and alkalines together. As a dessert course, he'd chosen mango and ice cream. This was bound to go badly. Now, I knew that my surgical corset was good for 160 pounds of pressure, but I wasn't sure about the men. It was time to bring this farce to a rapid conclusion. I suggested to the Maharaja that we might leave the ladies for a while and retire to the smoking room. He gave me a funny look and I thought he might have rumbled us. But as he rose, I noticed that he too was sporting rubber underwear. Damn it, the bugger had caught us at our own game. In any case, we retired to the billiard room, where the Maharaja stood, warming himself by the fire. Even now, I can still see his face as that red-hot coal popped out of the grate. They say you could hear the explosion 5 miles away. The poor fellow was hideously burnt. But worse was to follow, as a chain explosion took place, one set of exploding underwear leaping to the next. There wasn't a man left unscalded as the flames licked around the room. It was a disaster. The palace was burnt to the ground. And that was pretty much the end of the Maharaja's rule in this country. Though, of course, that's not the way the story is told down at the Explorers Club.